Good morning. Today's reading comes from Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is God's word for us today. You can be seated.
Good morning and welcome to Grace. My name is Josh Hebman. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace, and we are continuing in our series in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about prayer this morning, as you might have been able to tell from the scripture reading. Talking about the practice of prayer, and let's ask this question as we begin this morning. Why and how do you pray? Do you pray? Are you the sort of person who only prays, when you're hydroplaning in a thunderstorm? Are you the kind of person who only prays when somebody gets sick? Are you the kind of person who prays without ceasing, as Paul instructs the Thessalonians? Are you the kind of person who prays occasionally? Do you pray in a very specific way, maybe at meals or maybe before bed? Maybe it's something that you were trained to do as a child and you've continued not just praying in the way that you were instructed as a child generally, but very specifically, maybe using the same words that you used as a child. How do you pray? Why do you pray? Why and how do you pray is an important question because it is something, prayer is something that Jesus taught his disciples about. And if this is something that Jesus took the time to teach about, his disciples asked him, how do we pray? And he responded, okay, fine, here's how you pray. He taught them. It's something we should pay attention to, right? It's something that we should take notice of. And so let's address this question of why and how we should pray today, how we do and how we should. We're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at the performance of prayer first, and then the formula, and finally the conversation. And if you've been around Grace long enough, you know usually the third point is the right point, right? Like the first two, these are the no's, and then finally we get to the yes. So this should not be a surprise, but we shouldn't perform. Nor should we follow a formula just for the sake of following a formula. We should have a conversation. And that can be really challenging for us. For a number of reasons, but the first reason being, we cannot see God. The only people who've had the opportunity to see God are various folks throughout history where God has walked alongside them physically, and we don't get that opportunity, right? The disciples got to walk with Jesus. They got to see him in a way that we don't get to see him. They got to talk with him in a way that we don't get to talk with him. Some people have watched The Chosen. They've watched other movies where they see a physical representation of Jesus walking and talking with his disciples. And their immediate response is, man, I wish I had that. Right? I wish I could do that. It would be so much more natural to talk to God that way. So that's one reason why it's hard to talk to God. But another reason is, despite knowing that he is all-knowing, and despite knowing that he already sees what's going on in our lives and our hearts, we don't want to tell him the things that we're doing, right? We don't want to have a conversation with God because somehow we think that if we don't tell him, he won't know, which is bad logic. But we think that way anyway. So we know that conversation is right, but we don't necessarily know how we get there. So let's talk about that this morning. As we talk about prayer, let's pray. Let's pray for this time that God would open up his word to us, that we would understand how he would have us think about being in right relationship with him. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are good and faithful to us, and you are consistently coming back to us and letting us know that you want to be in relationship with us. You want to be in conversation with us. Even though we can't see you, And even though we're afraid to come to you sometimes, Lord, because we're afraid that you're going to know what we're up to, you're good. You're good and you're faithful and you gave your life for us. And while we were still sinners, you died for us. Lord, there's no reason why we shouldn't come to you. So please give us the extra motivation today that we need every day to open up our hearts, our minds, our mouths to speak to you, Lord, to be in right relationship with you, to be in conversation with you. Keep us from the temptation to just shut it inside and not talk about it with you especially, Lord, but with your body as well. Help us to be in conversation with you today, I pray, as we study your word, open our eyes, our ears. Help us to understand. In your name, amen. What do we mean by performance? What does Jesus mean by performance? Here's what he says in Matthew 6. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And if you were here last week, Brooks explained that the Greek word hypocrite, right? It is a Greek word. Even our English word comes from this ancient Greek word. It doesn't exactly mean or precisely mean the way we, the meaning is not precise to what we use today. So when we say it today, we say hypocrite. What we mean is say one thing and do another. And classically, ancient Greece, what they meant was acting. Now that is a form of saying one thing and doing another, right? An actor or an actress is claiming to be somebody that they're not. But we've kind of taken it a step further in our understanding, our use of the word. Jesus is using it in the classical sense because that's the time that he's living. And he says, don't be like the actors, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Right? You're a pretty bad actor if you only ever act in a closet in your room. Right? Nobody can see that. That's not a good performance. That's maybe a practice, but it's not a good performance. So if you're going to be an actor, if you're going to pretend in front of people, you want people there to see you and to participate in your performance. And that's why some people pray. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, just like with giving, Brooks talked about this last week, Jesus is not saying that there is never a time to pray in front of other people. You must only ever pray in secret. That's not what Jesus is saying. We know that from the context. We know that from the rest of Scripture. Jesus often prays in public places. So it's not as though this is the only time and way you can pray, but rather what he is saying is that if you want to have the right motive, if you want your heart to be right with God, because he's teaching his disciples how to pray, if you want your heart to be right with God, don't be like actors who only are seeking the reward of a performance that has been seen. Right? The only person that you're there for, the only person you have to be concerned about when you're praying is the person you're talking to, and that's the Lord. So that's the difference, right? And that's the temptation for some of us. And I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what your temptations are in particular. But you guys have all heard people who pray to be heard. Or maybe you've seen people who pray to be seen. This isn't common really outside of the church much. But inside of the church, there are all kinds of folks who pray to be seen and pray to be heard. And they pray in such a way that they hope people will look at them, pay attention to them, remember their words. They pray for their own sake. They pray to perform. Jesus says, don't do that. You're talking to God. This isn't about your performance. Right? So whether it's a politician sometimes who will pray, or maybe a political leader at a local level, maybe like a school or whatever, right? They might pray and want to be seen for their prayer, or whether it's in church or whether it's in a small group. Don't pray to perform. That's not why you're doing it. You're not talking to God so that other people can see your conversation with God. You're talking to God so that you can talk to God. So the goal is to showcase our righteousness when we perform prayer. And Jesus is saying that shouldn't be your concern. The means is to advertise our conversation with God. And again, he's saying that shouldn't be your concern. And likewise, the reward is approval from people. And he's like, that's a bad reward. How many of you have ever cashed a check that's based on the approval of another person? You ever go to the bank? You say, I have been approved of by many people. Please give me money in return. Does that work? You ever gone to the store and tried to buy groceries based on the approval of others? What about health? What about love? Why are we so interested in the approval of others when it cannot even meet our basic needs? We work pretty hard to get the approval of others, yeah? Anybody go through middle school? It's all about getting the approval of others, right? You don't remember a single thing from middle school other than what your social status was or wasn't. Why are we so concerned with getting the approval of others when it does not provide anything? Because we think we are the most important thing. The most important person, the most important cause, the most important anything, right? That's why we seek approval, because we have the false notion that we are the reason the world exists. And we ought to be. And God is telling us, Jesus is telling his disciples, this isn't about you. I made you to reflect my image. I didn't make you to make your image great. I made you to reflect my image and to carry out my work in this world. And I want to be in conversation with you. I want to talk to you. But when you make this about yourself, the only reward you will get is something that is of no good to you. So don't seek the approval of others. Don't perform in your conversation with God. What about formulaic prayers? Jesus says in Matthew 6:7, I heard it. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And clearly he is not saying, don't pray, I know what you need before you ask, because he's teaching his disciples how to pray. So the message is not, stop praying. The message is, don't follow a formula just to get what you want from God. Similarly, right, there are goals and there are motives, there are rewards here that are different than what God would have us pursue. So when we use formulas, the goal is to manipulate God to do our will. If we just say the right words in the right order at the right time, God will have to give me what I'm asking for. Right? If I am faithful to pray the magic formula 3 times a day, God will have to make me healthy or wealthy or wise or whatever it is, right? That's not true. That's the way pagans think. That's the way that pagans and people in Jesus' day who are not following God would pray. Sometimes they would just repeat words. They would just sort of babble. And I'm not necessarily talking about the things that you might have heard in Christian churches, although sometimes people do pray this way in Christian churches. But Jesus is speaking against the kind of pagan practice of his day where people didn't even know. They didn't know their God. There was no way for them to know their God because their God was not the true God. All they could do was stab in the dark blindly. And so they would try all kinds of things, right? They would sacrifice whatever they could get their hands on, including their own children, just in an attempt to get the formula right, to get the right combination of words or feelings or expressions, so maybe God would pay attention. And we hope, right, we hope that the reward is the thing that we ask for. God, if I say this thing the right way, will you please give me the person that I've asked for, the job that I've asked for, the health that I've asked for, whatever it is. And again, we gave you the spoiler up front, right? The desire Jesus has is to be in right relationship with us. So this does not work. This is not appropriate. If any of you are married or are in a close relationship with any family member, you know that it is bad practice to only communicate in formulas. Right? Imagine how your relationship with your spouse would go if you only said like the same 6 or 7 words to them every morning. In the same order at the same time. That would be bad communication. Just in case you're wondering, guys, write this down. This is important. Do not say only the same 6 or 7 words to your wife every morning before you leave the house. I love you. That's great. But if that's all you ever say, and you always say it around the same time when you're leaving the house, your spouse begins to suspect that maybe you don't, in fact, love me, because why? Why do you say that? It's a formula. It's just a thing that you're repeating to me. That's not conversation, that's not relationship. We do not live in right relationship with God if that's the way we pray. So Jesus says, here are things not to do. Don't perform, don't act, don't just follow this ritual. And some of you are from maybe Catholic background or from Lutheran background where you have written prayers that are part of liturgy. This is not necessarily the same thing, right? You could pray a rosary-style prayer. You could pray a standard liturgical prayer and mean it from your heart to God. That is possible. In the same way, you could get up here in a non-denominational church and you could pray every Sunday in front of the congregation in such a way as to be formulaic. There's a real question of motive here. Where is your heart with God? Why are you saying the words that you're saying? Are you seeking a conversation with him? Are you doing the thing that Jesus has called you to do? Or are you trying to get something out of God like a vending machine? And if you just get the right combination of dials and knobs turned, then maybe you'll get the thing that you want. So let's spend some time here on the conversation, because this is the thing that Jesus says we ought to be doing. We ought to be having a conversation with him when we pray. Pray then like this. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Is this a formula? It is if you only pray the words in order to say them, to check it off a list. Is this a performance? It is if you memorize it so that people know that you've memorized it, and when you pray, you make sure to insert it in there so they know you're a good Christian. Is it a conversation? It is if your heart is right before God and you're genuinely going to him and you're saying, God, I want to praise you today. That's what hallowed be your name means, right? I want to praise your name. I want to recognize that you're God and that you're good and that you made the world and you made me, and I want to praise you. And I want to sincerely ask for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done. I want that. I don't want my will done anymore. I've tried it. My will is bad. My will ends up in a bad place. Do your will. Do these things. Give me sustenance. Give me daily bread. Forgive debts. Help me to forgive debts. This can be a conversation. This is what Jesus is encouraging his disciples to do. Enter into conversation with God. Don't perform. Don't memorize and just repeat. Do talk to me. Do tell me what's going on. When we ask God to not lead us into temptation but deliver us from evil, if we're not taking advantage of that opportunity, it is to our own harm. We're going to be tempted every single day. All of us, everyone. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how old you are. You will be tempted. Sometimes the temptations will result in sins that are very obvious and very clear, and everybody around you will see the impact of that sin. Right? If you choose to drive while you're drunk, or if you choose to commit adultery, and that sort of thing is found out, of course, lots of people are going to see that. But sometimes the temptations that we face are just to be mean to people around us. They're just to treat other people with contempt. They're just to be greedy, and in our hearts, to lust after things we have no business lusting after, and to hate people like unto killing them in our own hearts, right? Sometimes that's what our temptation looks like. And all of us face temptation. And Jesus says, I want to talk to you about that. And so if all we do is memorize prayers and perform them, if all we do is just repeat words hoping that God will hear because we've repeated them enough, we're not taking advantage of his offer to be in right relationship, to be in conversation. You guys know how good help is? Have you ever been in a situation where you needed real help and you got good help? Ever been stuck on the side of the road and somebody comes by and they're like, yeah, I don't have a jack or muscle or anything else, but man, I feel bad for you. Like, thanks, that's great. That does not get my car back on the road. But somebody then stops, right, and they have all the tools and equipment, and they even happen to have an exact match spare tire that's full of air, and they put it on your car, they give it to you for free. Like, that's good help. We need good help. We want good help, and Jesus is offering good help, but we have to be in conversation with him. We have to tell him what we're struggling with. We have to tell him that we forgive others their trespasses because he wants to forgive us. But when he sees that we are unrepentant, when he sees that we are unforgiving, He knows we're not ready to be in right relationship with him. So he is always ready, right? He dies while we're still sinners. He is always ready to welcome us in. But he is watching us and he wants to be in relationship with us. And he knows that if we're not forgiving others, if we're in the right disposition toward our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors, that we're not ready to be in right relationship with him. Jesus wants to forgive. He stands ready to forgive. He came to seek and save the lost. So don't read that and think, oh, I have unforgiveness in my heart. Jesus can't accept me. No, Jesus died to save you while you're still a sinner. But he wants to be in right relationship with you, and he knows that you are going to get in the way of that when you're continually hating people in your heart. So that's what he's saying here. Be in relationship with me. Tell me. Tell me about all of this. The goal here is to know and experience God. Right, we have the Bible, we have all of Scripture, 66 books. If you're coming to our church, we say that there are 66 Old and New Testament books that tell us who God is and what he's up to and what he has done and what he's going to do, what he's doing right now. This is a way that you can know God. This book, Scripture, also teaches us that we can know God by being in the world, that the world he made gives testimony to him. And then beyond that, there are people who walk in right relationship with God, who can be our brothers and sisters if we're part of the body, and they can also communicate things about God to us, reveal things that he chooses to reveal through them. All of those are ways that we can know and experience God, and in addition, we can talk to him directly. Remember when I was real young, you may be surprised to hear this, but I was kind of uptight, and I was a rule follower, and I knew that there were certain ways to pray, and there was like a certain sense of decorum, right? Like you had to be serious about prayer. And I had this younger sister, she's 4 years younger than me, and she wanted to pray in all kinds of wild and crazy ways and talk to Jesus like he was a real person in the room. Drove me crazy. That's not how you talk to God. Right? You have to be more serious than that. You have to treat him with some respect. Like he lived a long time ago and then he died and he rose again. Not everybody does that. You have to be serious in your prayers. And I remember going to my parents after the prayer, right? Because I was serious and I knew you couldn't interrupt her. After the prayer, and I said, you know, we have to talk. My sister's name is Charity. We got to talk to Charity. She's clearly not praying in the right way. I was like six. It's not true. I was a little older than that. And I said, we got to talk to her because she's not talking to God in the right way. And my parents said, no, she is talking to God in exactly the right way. She believes that he's real. She believes that he listens. She's talking to a person. And they didn't say to me, and you're not, and you're doing it wrong. But what they said to me was, Jesus is real. You should talk to him like he's a real person. It is not just a formality. It's not just a performance. It's not just a ritual. He's real. He's a real person. So talk to him like he's a real person. And the means that we're given are a give and take real relationship. And you might think, okay, wait a minute. So I understand how I give, right? And I definitely understand how I take, but what's Jesus giving here, right? It's not like Jesus is going to confess his sins to us. He doesn't sin. He's sinless. It's not like God is going to confess his sins to us. So what is the give here on God's part? Well, God gives us the opportunity to talk to him. Right? God gives us his ear, his availability. He is present in us. He gives us his Holy Spirit so that we don't have to go anywhere. Right? The ancient Jewish people understood that to really talk to God, it was best if you went to the temple because that's where his presence was. And God has given us his presence in our hearts and in our lives. So we can be with God now, here, today. That's how he gives. He gave his life and died and took it back up again. So he has given us himself, he's given us life, and he's giving us everlasting life. So that's the give on his part. And what does he take? He asks for obedience and he asks for relationship. That's what he wants to take from us. And the reward is twofold. During this life, we get to walk in right relationship with God while we wait for his return. In the life to come, we get to walk with God in perfection. Now we walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus. Then we get to walk in a new heavens and a new earth. a couple of weeks ago, Brooks was talking about giving, and he was talking about, a reward that we look forward to that was in heaven, an eternal reward, an imperishable reward. And he made a specific point, and he said, if you are looking for your best life now, today, right now, you're going to be disappointed because that is not when we get the best. Because the best is perfection. The best is consummation, the fullness of God and man together, right? In heaven, new heavens, new earth, no sin, no death. That's the best. But this morning, we need to talk about how this life has a purpose. It's still good to follow God now and here. And there is a good way of doing it, even though it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Passage that's perfect for explaining what this looks like is Micah 6:8. Many of you know this verse. You've heard this verse sung. Maybe you've memorized it. But Micah asks this question. The psalmist asks this question. What does it look like to serve God? God, what do you want? Do you want sacrifices? Should I give my child? Should I give 10,000 rivers of oil, right, in one place? What do I need to do? What do I need to do to be in right relationship with you? And God's answer is this. Here's what's good. In this life, here's what's good. Here's what God asks from you. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. That requires relationship with God. You will not do justice. You will not pursue what is right and good if you're not in right relationship with God. You won't love mercy, and you won't walk humbly with God if you're not in right relationship with God. You might think, well, no, that's not true, because I can do what's just, right? I can read the law. I can look at what is good and right according to our society, and I can follow those rules. And I can even love to be merciful to people. You can, under your own power. It will get you so far, and then no further. And here's the hard truth. The people it's hardest to do this with are the people that we are closest to. Right? All of you, if I asked you this morning, hey, could you conceive of doing something that would be just for this hypothetical person who lives across the world? And can you conceive of what it would be like to be merciful to this person you've never met, but they live in a different country and they speak a different language? Most of you would be like, yeah, absolutely. 100% I can understand what that would look like to pursue justice and mercy for that person. But then if I asked you about your spouse or your parent or your child, the conversation would get a lot different, because you'd be like, no, wait a minute. If I'm going to be just to them, don't we have to recognize their sin? Don't we have to talk about how they're wrong? Don't we have to talk about how they were not merciful to me? And that's where the third part comes in. Walk humbly with your God. Be in right relationship with your God. Talk to, because we're talking about prayer, talk to your God about these things. This is what Jesus tells his disciples he desires from us, is to be in right relationship with us and to talk to us about what our daily needs are, about the fact that we can't forgive people, about the fact that we long to see his kingdom come and his will be done, because when we try to do it, it gets messed up all the time. In this life, today, as you leave this place, if you want to have goodness, do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. This side of heaven, this is good. To walk humbly with Jesus now, it will mean walking in the wilderness. It means walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Many of you know Psalm 23. We've taught on Psalm 23 recently. Go back and watch the sermons. Encourage you to do that. Go back and read the blog posts on Psalm 23 on the Grace blog. Dive deep. It's simple. It's simple and it's profound. God, you're my shepherd, right? You watch over me. You provide for me. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear any evil because you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It is true that we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you closer than others, right? Some of you feeling it more than others. And sometimes it's a timing thing. There are days when you feel it more than others. This is true, and God is with us. That is also true, and he wants to talk to us. And in the future, it will look like walking with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. I don't know how many of you know the story of Genesis by heart. You know that there were days and that things were created on different days. But one of the things that people often miss when they retell the story of Genesis is that right at the beginning, before Adam and Eve had sinned, so we're talking about Genesis 1 and 2 here because they're sinning by chapter 3, right? Didn't take long. In chapters 1 and 2, God is walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. God lives with man and man with God. And that is the design that God had from the beginning. And that's the design he has for the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, God is with us now. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear any evil because he is with us. But he will be with us in a way then that he can't be with us now because of sin and death. And so when that is gone and there are new heavens and new earth, that's what it means to have the final reward. To never, ever have to fear again. To be in such right relationship that there is never a chance that somebody can misunderstand you. There's never a chance that you say the wrong thing or in the wrong way. Right? That's what Jesus is calling his disciples to hope for, is that someday where we walk with him in a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know if you've trusted Christ. I don't know if you know Jesus. But we are going to encourage you always, always to be listening to his voice. And we're going to end in prayer today. We're going to spend a few minutes where I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to ask you to pray because this is hard, right? I say it like it's easy and we go through these points and there are slides. It's very straightforward, but this is hard. It's hard to talk to God. There are all kinds of reasons why. We don't make space for it sometimes. We don't think he's listening. We don't think he cares. We don't think he's real. It's hard. And Jesus doesn't want it to be hard. He gives us an opportunity to be in conversation with him. And if you've accepted Christ, tell us because we want to help you in your conversation with him. And if you've known Jesus for years and you're like, I still struggle, I want to be honest about that, then come down and pray with us and let's talk about that. You don't have to be a new believer to continue to talk to other believers, right? But it's hard. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be in right relationship with you today, to talk to you, to speak to you as though you're real, because you are, and good, because you are. God, I do pray for the people who are hurting this morning. I pray for Brooks and Stacy. I pray for the people that Jason mentioned who have lost spouses and children and friends this week. God, I pray for every man, woman, and child in this place who just struggles to talk to you because of many reasons. Lord, you know our hearts better than we do. You know why it's hard for us to talk to you. And yet you tell us that you are interceding for us. You're sitting at the Father's right hand talking about us, for us, and you want to talk to us. So I pray that you would open our hearts today that we might talk to you about everything. Lord, help us to praise you like we ought to. Help us to seek your will instead of ours. Help us to depend on you for our daily bread and for all the things that we need. And Lord, help us to forgive. Pray that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would make us more like you. I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 21, where the Apostle John reaccounts his vision of what it looks like for us to be with God in heaven, communicating with him. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. And neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Praise the Lord. Amen. Go with grace. Have a good week.